Here we are again. Yet again, the Chicago Bulls find themselves right back at 500 at 22-22. They are a half game back of the 8th seed and 2.5 games back, technically, of the 5th seed. But with the 5th toughest schedule remaining in the NBA, the bar cannot just be getting to 500 anymore for this team, especially for a team that is not going to tank and hasn't made a big move yet, right? So we're going to break down what this stretch really means for the Chicago Bulls and whether Vooch is staying put in Chicago or not, as we have a report on that, and why tanking is officially dead in Chicago, and what to make of these new Zion and Eve Missy trade rumors. We're going to get to all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And we're here right back here at 500 yet again. And with the win last night over the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Chicago Bulls now are at 22-22. They're a half game back of the 8th seed, like I said in the intro. And they have the 5th toughest schedule remaining in the NBA, right? The Bulls' remaining opponents left on the season have a 51% win percentage. Only the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Denver Nuggets, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Golden State Warriors have tougher schedules via opponents' win percentage than the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls' next matchup is going to be against the Boston Celtics. That's going to be on D-Rose jersey retirement night. And the Boston Celtics are 27-16 and the number two seed overall in the Eastern Conference. So even staying at 500 in this next game is going to be a little bit tough for the Chicago Bulls. But like we talked about a lot with this team, the Bulls can beat anybody. They can lose to anybody as well. There's just, you know, there's no other way around that to talk about that. The Bulls could win against anybody on any given night. They can lose against any team. But the bar can no longer just be at 500. You know, that was something that we've talked about for years with the Bulls. Like, damn, can you be at 500? Because they've been below 500 for so long. But, like, you can't – that can't be the bar for this team. Like, yeah, it's great to get back to 500. It's great to battle back to getting to this point, especially after the Chicago Bulls. You know, they went on that 3-13 stretch where they only won 3 games over 16 games. That 3-13 stretch changed so much for the Chicago Bulls as far as the way that this season was viewed. Because before then, the Bulls were riding high, right? I think they were, what, 6-1, 6-2 before that ended up happening. And things just all fell apart for the Chicago Bulls. Before a team that hasn't been above 500 for years, you know, of course, like getting to 500, it could feel like an accomplishment. But Josh Giddey said it after yesterday's game, after, you know, being interviewed, after coming off the court, where he was like, oh, the Bulls are back at 500. He was like, yeah, but it has to be about, you know, getting above 500 and staying above 500. And I love that mindset from Josh Giddey. Like, it has to be, the bar has to be set higher than that for the Chicago Bulls team. When you look at the last couple of years for the Bulls, right, we all know the last 2 years, 39 wins. It was the first time, you know, Billy Donovan has not had a worse record. He actually stayed the same. The last time we were above 500 was the 2021-26 season. 46 wins that season, 5 games above 500. And we lost in the first round of the playoffs. We won 1 game, lost in the first round of the playoffs, and that was it, right? And I think that has now left a bad taste in some Bulls fans' minds where they think making it to the playoffs isn't an accomplishment. And I want to talk about why making it to the playoffs would say something about this version of the team, right? I get it where this team has been. I know that it's hard to separate. Well, hell, we've been in the play-in for the last 3 years. You're right, we have been. But I think the last few years were a little bit different. Last year, of course, we finished with a version of this of close to what we have now as far as of the roster. But even that season started off with Zach LaVine still on the roster, right? The season before that, LaVine went down early in the season, but DeMar was still on the roster, right? The Bulls have one of the youngest rosters in the NBA, right? And that's even still with elderly-ass Nikola Vucevic on the roster. When you include Zach Collins, and I'm including Zach Collins because he is going to be part of the rotation when healthy and this season, and you include 35-year-old Nikola Vucevic, I'm excluding Noah Essengay at 19 years old because he didn't really play a role into the season and he's not coming back this season. So when you look at the average age of the 11 rotational players by the Chicago Bulls, the average age is 25 years old. If you compare that to the last time the Bulls were in the playoffs, in the 2021-22 season, the average age of the top 11 rotational players was 28, was almost 28, was almost the average age of that roster. So in 3 years in basketball time means a lot. And I think, and I specifically, we're excluding Noah Essanay, who's not part of the rotation, 28-year-old Zach Collins, and 35-year-old Nikola Vucevic. You take away just 35-year-old Nikola Vucevic, we drop down to almost 23 is the average age of this team. I mean, of the 11 rotational players. Not the team overall, because you still have Javon Carter and stuff like that. I'm just counting the players that are consistently in the rotation. That's what the difference is. Now, also, I do need to point out, for fairness, Patrick Williams missed a lot of that time in the 21-22 season. He was healthy by the playoffs, so there's that part of it. Lonzo Ball also, I think, was, 23 years old that season, but he was not playing by the time the playoffs came around because, he had got hurt. So the average age makes a difference, right? So I'm not with this thought process, and we talked about this a little bit on the pregame show. I'm not with this thought process that, getting to the playoffs doesn't mean anything for the Bulls. It means a lot because you'd be getting there via so many young players being a part of your rotation. And like I said on yesterday's pregame episode as well, so many players that have never really been at this level of prioritization on their roster for a playoff team as well. So yes, with the Bulls not going to tank, because it's not going to happen, get over it, people. The Bulls aren't tanking. I need everybody to come to the realization, regardless of where you feel about it, whatever. And again, people have valid points. I'm not saying there aren't some valid points in regard to tanking, especially in this draft, but the Bulls aren't going to tank. Everything that they have signaled has said that. Every action, they said that. When actions and words align, at some point, you just got to realize, whether you agree with it or not, this isn't about agreeance, it's about acceptance. And sometimes you just got to accept it. It's out of all of our hands. This team is not going to tank. That is not the priority of this team. Billy Donovan has said it. AK has shown it with his actions, and he said it as well. This team is not going to tank. So the pathway forward for the Chicago Bulls is one of a few things. A, of course, internal development. So you want the players that are on your roster to develop internally. Namely, Modest Bouzelis, Noah Essanay, you eventually want to develop as well. We need to get his ass back on the basketball court next season. But you want that internal development. And you're seeing that. Modest has developed this year. Io has developed this year. Like, you, even at 26 years old, Io DeSumo has still added another layer of refinement to his game. There's just no doubt about that, right? Josh Giddey now being in a position where he's actually playing a point guard and actually getting to just play to his natural position at 23 years old, he's never been at that part either for a playoff team. He's been on playoff teams, but he wasn't even, the top three prioritization on that team? So again, he's never been in the case of that. Same with Trey Jones at 26 years old. Jalen Smith, in the role that he's now having for this Bulls team, he's definitely developed as well when you look at Jalen last year versus this year as well. Of course, some of the younger players on the roster aren't consistently part of the rotation. Dalen Terry at 23, not consistently part of the rotation. Julian Phillips at 22, not consistently part of the rotation. And that could have even brought the Bulls' average age down further, right? So you don't have those guys that are a big part of it. But even Isaac Okoro, 24 years old. Many of you guys talked about when we traded him, he wasn't even a big reason of why that Cav team won those games. So keep that same energy and realize, hey, as a starter here, he's never been in that role where he's been that consistent. He got passed up in the starting lineup. So, that matters, right? So when you look at a team that isn't going to tank and prioritize draft position over development, you have to have that internal development. But I think also you have to draft the right players, which, it remains to be seen about Noah Essanay. Modest was the right decision. Io was the right decision. But we've had some wrong ones in there. Dalen Terry over Walker Kessler wasn't the right decision. Patrick Williams over a tomato wasn't the right decision, right? So, there goes that one. But you have to now draft better. And that puts pressure on the front office. You have pressure on the roster to perform. You have pressure on the front office to draft the right players. But then at the same time, because the Bulls aren't going to tank, that means that either through trades or through free agency, they have to add players that want to come to this team. You know how you get players to want to come to your team? You have to win. You have to look like you're progressing towards something. You have to look like you're building towards something. You have to look like you have a roster that is at least doing something. Making the playoffs does that. Now, hopefully the Bulls do. And keep in mind, this is a change of Modif for me. I've been for years saying, all right, when people are like, well, yeah, just get these guys some playoff experience. I was like, all right, what did that playoff experience do for Patrick Williams? It did shit for Patrick Williams getting him in the playoff because he was shit after that. But then I had to realize, like, well, that was Patrick Williams. That was the makeup of Patrick Williams. Mentally, he's not there, right? He doesn't care about basketball, it doesn't seem. Dalen Terry is just probably not going to be an overall good basketball player. We now have players in Modest. We have players in Josh Giddey. We have players, and of course, Iodasumu still on this roster, that do look like, hey, there's something to be said about these guys and what they're turning into. So yeah, getting to the playoffs for them is a little bit different than what it did for, or hopefully it's going to be a little bit different than what it did for Patrick Williams, right? So you got to trust that part. So right now, because of the place that the Bulls are in and because they aren't going to be a tanking team, this is the best case scenario. So the Bulls have to show us something. You want Bulls fans to have some faith in what you're doing. It'll be a lot easier. Like, keep in mind, the Derrick Rose rookie year. Not only did he show a lot he won rookie of the year, but on top of that, we went toe to toe with the Boston Celtics, the defending NBA champions. No Kevin Garnett in that series. People really don't talk a lot about that, right? Bulls fans now will be like, well, yeah, we pushed them to 7 games, but Kevin Garnett wasn't in there, so it doesn't really matter. But they pushed the Boston Celtics to that, and it felt like, all right, this team is actually progressing. They're building towards something. And then
every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, and password manager to keep logins safe, and spam call protection to cut off spammers as well. Aura also scans the dark web for your most sensitive information like your social security number, bank logins and passwords, and notifies you instantly if they're exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed up by $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get in all data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support all in one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what is not, and puts you back in control. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That is enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See site for details.
Got to see them a couple seasons later, have a really good, you know, they had a really good offseason. They added to the team, things like that. People wanted to come. Now, they weren't ever able to really attract another star to come to this team, but they built a solid roster that was competitive in that era. That's what you need to do here. And I think that if you want fans to believe that you are building towards something without tanking and prioritizing top five picks in a deep draft or whatever, you have to actually succeed at something. Getting above 500, making the playoffs, actually having a playoff series that you look competitive in, that would be an important part for this Bulls year. And I don't care what fans say in regards to that. I would love to see it for this team. And I think we have people with the right mental makeup. Josh Giddey getting into the playoffs, I think he's going to play really good. Now being in his position. Modest Muzelis getting into the playoffs, maybe a little bit rough for him depending on the matchups, but I think that's going to be good for his mentality. Ayo, Kobe, these guys, I trust that's going to be good. Jalen Smith, I think that's going to be good for them. So let's actually fight over this remaining part of the season with 44 games in. We got 30-something games left this season. Let's go out here and attack it. Let's see what we can do. With that said, one of the players that are probably still going to be on this roster after the trade deadline is Nikola Vucevic. Brett Siegel, in his article, talked a little bit about that. He said this: it makes sense for the Bulls to be looking at possible centers of the future. Knowing that Nikola Vucevic is in the final year of his contract, multiple sources this week stressed that it's now unlikely Vuce gets dealt before the trade deadline. It's believed that Vucevic, should he enter free agency this summer after playing out his 3-year deal with the Bulls, will generate some interest from teams looking at a long-term starter believed to be open to be more complementary role in the right situation, similar to Al Horford during last summer's free agency, which Al Horford's been terrible for that Warriors team. I don't know why I'm putting that in there. But 35-year-old Nikola Vucevic is likely going to be on the Chicago Bulls roster. No shit. I think every Bulls fan knew that. The Bulls have been trying to move Nikola Vucevic consistently for now at least two seasons, last season and this season. There's no doubt that, and I've been saying this to you guys, if you've been watching my shows, is that, you know, why would a team give up any asset? Even if it's just 2 second round picks, even if it's just a second round pick, why give that up when it's clear that Vooch doesn't fit the Bulls mold anymore? And you could probably sign him for part of your mid-level exception next year and not give up anything. That's just the reality of the business side of things. So Vooch is likely still going to be on the Chicago Bulls. They're not going to buy him out. I know for before anybody gets to typing that, but what about buying out Hayes? It's probably not going to get bought out either. The Bulls typically don't buy out contracts that large. So Vooch is going to be here. Now, that doesn't mean that Vooch needs to be prioritized. The way that I viewed it, and, you know, this, you know, has gotten some, you know, good responses, bad responses, is that I would make Nikola Vucevic the Keith Bogans. Like, start him at the first quarter, start him at the beginning of the third quarter. You know, you're playing for a stretch in the second and fourth quarters, and if he's playing well and shooting well, which he does have times of doing, leave him in the game in the fourth. If not, once Zach Collins is healthy, I'd rather play Zach Collins in the fourth and down close stretches of games if Vooch is not shooting the ball effectively. I think Zach Collins is a better two-way player. So I think that's the way for the Bulls to manage it here for the remaining way, but it's highly unlikely Nikola Vucevic gets moved. And for Bulls fans that have been actually watching and reading the tea leaves and actually paying attention outside of just the complainers, are like, well, why trade Trey Jones when we should trade P. Will and Nikola Vucevic? You know, those guys, it just comes down to the reality that it's the business of the NBA. And if you were running an NBA team, would you trade for Nikola Vucevic? I think that's the best way to look at it. Would you trade for Nikola Vucevic? And people are going to say, but he'd be a good backup in Denver. They have a good backup in Jonas Valanciunas. Now, if Jonas ends up leaving and going to Greece like almost happened this offseason, then maybe. But again, that points towards waiting to free agency to sign Nikola Vucevic when he's a free agent, and you probably get him for part of your mid-level exception. So Vooch is likely to be here. He's going to be here in Chicago. It is what it is. Not everybody agrees with it. You don't have to like it, but unfortunately, you are going to have to accept it. We all are. Nikola Vucevic is going to be here. And I think the best part about, or the good part about that is that if Zach Collins gets healthy and stays healthy after he comes back after the trade deadline, you can play Zach Collins in your key moments. And the double big lineup of Zach Collins and Jalen Smith with Modest at the three, I really like the prospect, the offense-defense matchups, the rim protection that offers as well. I like that for this Bulls team. And so hopefully that's a lineup that we can explore a little bit more here going towards the middle of February once Zach Collins comes back. And I think that'll be a big thing for this team. But Vooch, you know, per all reports, per, you know, what we've heard all season long, Nikola Vucevic is going to be a Chicago Bull. And, yeah, I'm not happy about that either. Again, it's just, I'm just talking about the reality of the situation. Doesn't mean I'm happy about it, but that is the reality of the situation as things stand right now. All right, let's move on from that to the last topic of today's episode. It's kind of an update on things that we talked about earlier. Zion Williamson and Eve Missy, and we heard, you know, a couple of days ago that the Bulls had trade talks with the Pelicans in regards to that. Brett Siegel adds a little bit onto that where he says this. League sources have since confirmed to Clutch Points these conversations in the Bulls' interest in former first overall pick. The Bulls are signaling that they will be making significant roster changes before this year's deadline, utilizing expiring contracts of Nikola Vucevic, Kevin Huerter, Zach Collins, and the sought-after guard Coby White in trade dialogue. Still, the Pelicans have remained firm on their stance to keep Zion for now. And that for now part is a big part of that as well, right? Jake Fisher also dished a little bit on that, and he said this. Along with our reporting last week that Indiana has called on Missy, as part of the Pacers' ongoing search for frontline reinforcements, I've been advised that the Chicago Bulls are a team that covets Eve Missy. Here's the thing. The Zion thing, it is what it is. I will say this, that if AK was going after Zion because of, at the time, the Pelicans were rumored to be willing to move Zion in a Trae Young-type deal, meaning that, you know, they were willing to move him for expirings and maybe a first, I will applaud AK if he was trying to be aggressive about going out there and getting Zion for that. Regardless of how you view Zion Williamson, if you're able to get him for expiring contracts, that is a hell of an opportunity at a value because you're adding a player that has one of the best net ratings of the game of basketball when he's on the court. The problem is he's not on the court a lot, but I think this season actually he's played like in 72% of the games or something like that, which still isn't super high, but you know that's a big mark for Zion. The question is he ever going to stay healthy? But hey, regardless of that, you know, if AK saw an opportunity to try to go after a star that has a low barrier cost of entry, shout out to AK for trying that. But I do think an Eve Missy trade is probably more like what we're going to see at the deadline. I don't think a big move's coming at the trade deadline. And it, I'll be glad to be wrong on that. You know, hearing Jake Fisher talk about, well, the Bulls are looking to make a big swing, and they're trying to do so with the expiring contracts and maybe Coby White to make that swing. That's great. But at the end of the day, it hasn't happened yet. Zion's already played 30 games this season, which is more than he played. Well, the same number of games that he played last season. It's still a far cry from the 70 he played in 2023-24. And we'll see what happens if Zion, you know, how close he can get to that. But out of the 46 games that the Pelicans have played, he's only mixed 16. Still a huge market, more than what you want for your 25-year-old player. But when you look at what Zion brings, it is what Zion brings. But Eve Missy still brings a dynamic that's needed to this team. I don't know if he's your center of the future. I still maintain that. But if the Bulls at least make a swing to get something that we need here, it kind of points towards what I was talking about earlier, that the Bulls are looking at trying to get this team some of the stuff that they need and see how they finish the season before they go into an offseason where they got to make a ton of decisions for the future. And that's something, there's something to be said about that. This team is missing some frontline defense. You add more to that. With what Jalen has done with Zach Collins, you're able to add Eve Missy into that, which then maybe you can leave Jalen Smith as your starting four. If that ends up happening, hey, great. Like, you've added something. Now, let's go and see what a little bit more defense up there, what that actually brings to this team if you do try to compete and contend for the playoffs and those type of things. And then you can go into the offseason with even more evaluation. You actually go into the offseason with at least your backup big in Eve Missy, which means you may not have to pay Zach Collins, you know, $10 to $15 million. So there's a couple of benefits about that. We'll see if the Bulls can end up landing him. The Pacers and maybe the Celtics may be a little bit more aggressive about that with, you know, we'll see. But, you know, the Celtics also are looking to move Anthony Simons' contract, maybe getting a higher caliber big. So we'll see what happens there. But overall, I think, you know, there's a lot to still take away from this team, as there always is. And we'll see where they go with it. But they got to show us something. And let's see. Let's see what they show us this season. Let's see what they go out here and do. Because maybe, just maybe, there's actually a surprise in store for Bulls fans this year. And maybe this team, if they can go on a run like they did at the end of last year, you know, after the trade deadline, 22-5, if they can do something like that again this season, hey, that with how tight the East is, could very well push you into the playoffs. And this team, who has not been healthy this season and does have a winning record when they're healthy both last year and this year, let's see if they can do it again this season. Let's see. I'm willing to wait and see. I'm not saying for sure. Again, we got to see a level of consistent play from this team before we can say anything on exactly what this team could be, but I'm willing to wait and see, and we'll see what this team is going to be at the end of this season. But listen, Bulls, they aren't tanking. Just get over it. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. They're not blowing it up. It's not happening. And they're probably not going to make a massive trade deadline swing either. So that means that it's on this roster. It's on these young players. It's on the players that are here. Internal growth, player development, proving you belong in the playoffs, not just the play-in. The next few weeks are going to tell us a lot about this Bulls team and give us a lot of indication on exactly what we need to do this offseason. And we'll see what AK is actually building and cooking here and if it can have more success than initially thought. Drop your thoughts in the comments down below. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, you guys already know. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod. You send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot, again, for everything Chicago Bulls related. And like to end every episode on, stay safe, go Bulls, and always see red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.